Recordings have started.
Thank you very much, Aubrey. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG policy meeting on Tuesday, 22nd September 2015. On call today, we have Rafik Damak, Amar El-Sada, Klaus Toll, Avi Doria, Sam Lanfranco, Stefania Milan, Adam Pick, Rudy Van Znik, Yoti Pandey, Carol Douglas, Marilia Marcel, Fazani Badi, Tapani Tavanin. We have apologies from Joy Lidicote. And from staff, we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Over to you, Rafik. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Mariam. Thanks for everyone for joining today call. So as usual, we have the call usually before the GNSO Council call on Thursday, and for this month we have twice GNSO Council call. So we will try to cover most of the GNSO agenda, and then we will try to see if any about regarding the updates of the ongoing policy development process, and if there is anything that we should respond. So let's start with the GNSO Council agenda. Mariam, can you please share that and that we connect? Thanks. So we have the agenda shared in the Adobe Connect. As usual, the first item is the consent agenda. I don't see anything controversial here, but if any of our counselors want to make a comment, yeah, he or she can. Otherwise, we can move to the next agenda item or motion. Okay, since there is no comment here, we can move to the next agenda item, which is a motion with regard to the public comment period for new GTLD subsequent procedural preliminary issue report. And that was presented by David King. So, yes, so David is volunteering maybe to do a briefing about it. David, please go ahead.
Yeah, okay. This item actually originated with staff, so I didn't write the motion, and they requested that we take a bit of a longer public comment period on this. In general, I don't think the NCSG are particularly racing to get the next new GTLD round to get started any quicker. So I don't think we're trying to, speed it along. And if staff thought we needed a longer public comment period, I agreed. So I'm not particularly strongly in favour of this motion, but if it's staff think it's the right thing to do, and I don't think we in general are trying to push this process to be as quick as possible. I don't think we want, the new GTLD process is going to be a very long, very complicated process. And I think we shouldn't try to rush, we shouldn't try to do it with unseemly haste, so to speak. So I don't think this will be controversial, but it might be a little bit. I'll be voting for it, but I don't think this is a huge issue that will and terribly divisive. We did decide to take it off the consent agenda because we thought, you know, it might not pass. But happy to hear what any other MCSG councillors think on this issue. Thanks.
Thanks, David. At least I think for NCAG, at least can give us some time to work on the comment. Last time I shared the Google Doc to try to get input, so if we have maybe a few weeks, maybe it will help a little to get more volunteers to work on the topic anyway. Any other comment from other GNSO counselor? Yes, Amma, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Summer. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right, great. Thanks. Just for those who are not following this, this is a public comment on an issues report, which means that following this, according to GNSO policy development processes, after this, then if the final issues report is approved by the GNSO Council, then we would be moving forward with a policy development process on the procedures for a new round of GTLD applications. Regarding the public comment period here, if I recall correctly, this was something that was being pushed for mainly by the business constituency and the IPC, and their reasoning was that because this is a very complex issue, the issues report is quite a large and substantive document. It requires more time and care, and it's a big topic as well. So they were, I think, if I recall correctly, they were the first to ask for an extension of the public comment period, which was originally posted for the standard 40 days. So the preliminary issues report was posted for public comment on August 31st with a deadline on October 10th. I'm also in favor of extension of the deadline for public comments. I think that's a good thing. We the NCSG, will probably need time to prepare a comment on this, and so any extra time is welcome. There are a few concerns that maybe just folks should be aware of as far as extension of the public comment period is concerned. First of all, extension will mean that the deadline is a lot closer to the ICANN 54 meeting in Dublin, and this has sometimes proved to be a bit problematic because then it will overlap with a lot of other things that we and other members of the community will need to be doing in terms of preparing for that meeting. Another issue that may be of concern, and forgive me, I'm not sure what the proposed extension is. On the GNSO Council, we had discussed several extensions, whether it would be extended to 60 days instead of 40 or maybe 65. But one of the other concerns that I also had a problem with is when, in terms of timeline, if the public comment period was extended too much, then once it was over and staff had a chance to integrate any comments into the final issues report, there may be very little time for the GNSO Council to review the final issues report, and there may be very little time between where the final issues report is ready for review by the GNSO Council and when the GNSO Council may be expected to vote on adopting it and launching a PDP. So I think we should be aware of all these things. I'm not saying that we shouldn't approve extension of the public comment period for the preliminary issues report, but in doing so, we should be aware of what may or may not come next, and we should be prepared for it. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Alan. Okay. Any further comment here? So I understand about your concerns. I guess it's more like, sounds like a kind of project management at the GNSO Council side here. to be sure about to keep things done in time. Okay, Amr, you still want to add something? Because I see that your hand is still rising here. Okay. So, any further comment? Any questions? Well, sounds not controversial topic here, and probably most of the councilor will vote yes. Okay. I think we can move to the next agenda item, which is quite interesting because we also have explored it the last time, and I see that for the GNSO Council, you are going to have a discussion about it and the presentation from the Vice President of the ICANN Development and Public Responsibility Program. So, okay, I think that's quite interesting development. This is a question for Councillor. Did you receive any update about this or any information that we should be aware about? Yes, Sam, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq, to Samer. No, to my knowledge, we did not receive any update on this. I believe this is going to be sort of like a briefing by Nora Busira. If folks remember this, the whole thing of exploring the public within ICANN's remit is sort of is a result of one of the five strategic panels that ICANN launched, last year or the year before. There was one on the public responsibility framework, and so this is kind of like a follow-up to that, the work of that strategic panel. I believe we will be, like I said, we'll be getting a briefing from Nora about what direction this is headed in, or maybe just to start a discussion with us on where we all think what direction should head in. But the issue of public interest also came up in regard to the previous agenda item, which is the new GTLD round, because the GNSO Council received a letter from the ICANN board chair, Steve Crocker, asking the GNSO Council to consider how public interest plays in terms of restriction of some generics to specific applicants, new generic GTLD top level domains, you know. And I'm sorry, I'm a bit distracted right now, but this topic did come up. It crosses over from the new GTLD issues. The board wants the council to consider public interest issues regarding some GTLDs and how they will be handed off to certain applicants. So I'm not sure if there's going to be sort of an interrelation between the two agenda items or not. But as far as I know, the second one is only a briefing. Maybe others have more to add on this. Thanks.
Okay. So thanks, Amr. I guess that Nora approached the council here. And I think that she is kind of maybe trying to start kind of a process soon and trying to reach the different SO and SEs for this matter. So I guess we will get much more information during the council call. But however, we have Bill and Marie in the queue. Yes, Bill, please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. So this is a conversation we've had in many contexts, and there's no point in repeating all of the various back and forth in terms of people's diverse views just to say what will actually happen. I've been talking to Nora a bit because we've had sort of a bit of a coordination relationship since they built this panel. And so I'm kind of like trying to give her a little help with this. I think she's trying to figure out her way through it. Essentially, what's going to happen, based on the conversations we've had, is that really there were, I think, there's an understanding that through the Dublin meeting, people are just going to be way too distracted with other matters to really focus their brains in any serious way about this. But yet, nevertheless, it keeps coming up over and over in many contexts, whether it's accountability or whatever else. The standard is constantly being invoked as a baseline for evaluating policies, so at some point you have to try to think about it. So the idea is, to my understanding, that in the fourth quarter of the year after Dublin, there will be an effort to try to sort of socialize the concept with the community. I've been trying to encourage her to share the background work that they've been doing, and they seem reluctant. I'm not quite sure why, but hopefully that'll change. She's got staff doing some research, and they've been doing some outreach to various board members and other people to get a preliminary take on how different people view the issues. And I think it would be sensible at some point for all of that to be publicly accessible, and I've encouraged her to put it on a wiki where people can comment, et cetera. In any event, so in the fourth quarter, there will be this discussion. And then in the first quarter of 2016, there will be some sort of a community process, perhaps some sort of cross-community working party or something like that that doesn't have to be chartered. Could be relatively informal, where there would be some group discussion, and then in Marrakesh we would have some kind of a serious working meeting to try to get people together around sort of at least bounding the range of possible viewpoints. Oh, and I'm also organizing I have a big workshop at the IGF in November that a number of the ICANN board members and others will be on, so that we'll also kind of use that to try to kickstart some of this. And then in after Marrakesh, between Marrakesh and the Latin American meeting in June, there'll be some effort to try to, like, output some kind of written text that would at least allow them to say that they have done this from the standpoint of the strategic plan and dispense with it as Fadi and perhaps others are heading out the door. So that's basically what that is. So I think you're gonna be getting a very preliminary update at the council. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Bill. I can concur about one point that it's in during Buenos Aires meeting when a kind of Nora tried to approach. As I discussed with her, and she said that her staff will work on some background paper that will be shared later. That was supposed to be in summer, but interesting to hear from you that there is some reluctance to share that. And I am wondering what kind of process and how it will work here. Yes, Maria, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafi. This is Marilia speaking. Actually, I raised my hand to explain kind of the background that Amp already explained, so I'm not going to repeat that. Just to say that I think that it's timely that we start to engage this conversation with Nora, because we will be confronted with the notion of public interest on the subsequent on procedures for new GTRDs, and also when we are called to examine the board's requests on public interest streams. It seems to me that the expression keeps appearing over and over, and we don't have any guideline on how to interpret or apply it. So I think that we do need to have this conversation, and it's good to know from Bill that they already have a plan to discuss this. But on the other hand, we know how hard it is to get a single view about this issue or at least a rough consensus, even between us. In our community, so imagine what it is to reach an agreement with ICANN as a whole. So I don't have clarity of how this issue is going to be moved forward, and maybe strategically we should think what we want to get from it. We had a discussion on the human rights call this week briefly if we should kind of conflate the issues or not, because for many human rights advocates, there is a clear connection with public interest, but we thought that for now, strategically, it's not interesting to conflate the conversations because there is no single view around public interest, so we're going to keep them separate, but they may get united further down the road, and it's something that we need to explore further and think. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Marilia. I guess we will know more after the call this Thursday. But anyway, any further comment or question here? Okay. I guess we can maybe move to the next item. Which is about the discussion paper on UGTLD auction proceeds, which is also published for public commentary. So we should submit a comment here, looking to hear from Jenna So Councillor if there was any discussion on the council mailing list, or they are aware what it will be presented exactly in the council call this Thursday about this topic. I think it is Amor. I can share the... Yes, Maria.
Hi, Rafik. This is Marilia speaking. Well, there was a discussion this week, last week, on the council mailing list. Glenn announced that the public comment period has been open, and Hugh Corwin raised some interesting points with regard to why this issue is arriving for us right now and where is it coming from. There was a perception that it would come from previous council discussions in which we advocate the idea to create a cross-community working group to examine what to do with the money, with the auction money. But staff presented it as an outcome for a high-interest topic session with ASOs and ACs coming from Buenos Aires, and there was a discussion about that. There may be kind of background political reasons, but to sum up, this was what was discussed on the list, and it seems that although we mentioned that a cross-community working group would be kind of preferred way to move forward, staff has kept open the door for other possibilities of advancing this work. And they are suggesting as well that maybe an extension to this topic, to the public comment period about this topic, should be granted. And I think that this is one of the things we're going to discuss. I think that given our agenda, it would be a good thing. Otherwise, the public comment period would end in Dublin, and we kind of have an agreement that this is not a good thing, so maybe we should extend it as well, and it will give us more time to comment it. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Yes, Amit, can you speak up?
Yeah, thanks, this is Amit. I just in response to Marilia, I don't mind an extension of this public comment period, especially that I believe it was today or yesterday there was an announcement circulated that ICANN would be holding an information webinar on this topic, I believe on October 7th, which is relatively close to the Dublin meeting as well. Considering that the public comment deadline is close to the meeting, as well as the webinar they're planning to hold, I wouldn't mind an extension to this public comment period. I would also say that this is a topic that has gained a lot of interest from NCSG members. Recall when we had a call for membership to the charter drafting team of a potential cross-community working group. We had a lot of people put their names forward to the NCSG list. Maybe we should be a bit more diligent in sharing this information. I don't believe we have. The announcement of the public comment period, the announcement on the webinar, I think our members need to do this, and this is probably an action item to take up after this call is over. Thanks.
Okay, Ahmad, just to clarify, I think I shared the information about the public comment and the mailing list, and also I shared the Google Doc to ask people to volunteer, and James started to put some comments already. About the webinar, I only saw the information today, so that's quite a new announcement here. So it will be shared soon. I think anyone can share also this kind of information. So please go ahead.
Just to say, obviously extending makes sense, but more generally, I think they're really at a loss at how to manage this process, which is, you know, not surprising, because there's a lot of concern that everybody's just going to kind of come out with favorite projects and there's no organizing principles for the discussion. The high interest session that we did on it, I thought was abysmal in some respects because they kind of strategically loaded the stage with a ridiculous number of people so that we couldn't have a coherent conversation. And so then that effect, of course, the optic that anybody would have come away from that session with was, you know, oh, there's no agreement and it's all over the place and it's all chaos. It's actually, I think, possible to sort of address this in a principled, structured way and to bound the range of issues. And I think that civil society certainly should play a role in trying to do it. But it doesn't seem to me that something that we need to have right on our in our face right now. It's an issue that's going to be with us. It's not going to go away. So we should try to engage more people, but recognize that in the short term there's massive overload and people are spread too thin to actually pay attention to these things. I'll admit I haven't read the paper. So right there. So anyway, thanks.
Yes, Bill. I mean, I was planning to send a reminder anyway. I mean, we are quite overloaded, and also the timing is not that perfect. It's just before and during Dublin meeting, so it can be kind of maybe confusing here. I will share all information later. We got those a few public comments to handle, basically about the proceeds, auctions, and the subsequent rounds on UGTLD. So. Anyway, any further comment here? At least maybe just some suggestion in if we think and how we should proceed. I think it's just a position paper. I'm not sure also about the process, if we will have the cross-community working group or not here, since it's something the board will want to take over of the process. So. Yes, James, please go ahead.
Hi, it's James Gunn. So, sorry, I've literally just joined, so I may have missed something similar to this conversation before. I think we should push for this to be resolved via the cross-community working group model. It's at the basic level, these auction proceeds are as a result of GTLD policy as created by the GNSO, supposedly. So, there is a point to be made for making sure that there's a broad spectrum of agreement. CCWG, led by the GNSO, really is the most appropriate vehicle for this, and for the board to come along and subvert that at the end would be a bad step, in my opinion.
yes, the board has fiduciary duties, and the CCWG should be well informed on what those fiduciary duties are and the limits of it. But at the end of the day, I believe that it should be a community-led position on how this goes forward. And I think we should push for the CCWG to be a vehicle for that community process.
Okay, thanks, James. Yes, please go ahead.
Thanks, this is Amr again. Yeah, when we first started discussing this, we weren't actually, I don't recall that the GNSO Council was asked to look into this, but yeah, the GNSO Council did begin discussing it, and then we did kind of quickly come to the conclusion we think a cross-community working group should work on recommendations on what to do with the auction proceeds. The council received a letter from the ICANN board saying that it would basically be okay to have a cross-community working group and that they would take the recommendations of that group into consideration along with other considerations that they need to do. And as James mentioned, they have fiduciary responsibilities. And so there was a lot of discussion about this, and there were a lot of questions on why the board can't just interact with a group consisting of the ICANN SOs and ACs and kind of bring those concerns to the group so that they can be discussed openly and collaboratively. But I just wanted to address one thing as well that James mentioned regarding a cross-community working group led by the GNSO. I was very much in favor of this when we started talking about it. The more and more we thought about this, I've become a bit more in favor of a GNSO working group handling this as opposed to a cross-community working group. And my reasoning for this is not because this is the result of GTLD policies developed by the GNSO. It's more about the nature and structure of GNSO working groups as opposed to cross-community working groups. GNSO working groups are open to membership by everyone, whether they are members of GNSO constituencies and stakeholder groups or from other SOs and ACs, or even if people are from outside of ICANN altogether and not affiliated to any of the community structures. And being a member of a GNSO working group means that you are part of the consensus building of the final recommendations of the group. Cross-community working groups only allow membership from chartering organizations and also open to participation by others who then are not part of the formal consensus of those groups. So that was a thought that I had on why I would prefer GNSO working group over a cross-community working group. And if I'm not mistaken, as part of the agenda of the next council meeting, we will be discussing the process and kind of reviewing whether a cross-community working group is preferable to a GNSO working group. I'm pretty sure there are many who would disagree with me, especially from outside the GNSO, but probably others from within. But I'm just thinking out loud here, and these are the thoughts that I've had over the past few weeks thinking about this. Thanks.
Hi, this is Harvey speaking. I initially was in favor of the cross-community model, but now given that the board has basically declared that any cross-community wrangling that needs to be done, it's going to do using its own methods, I think it becomes quite appropriate for the GNSO itself to establish its position in a GNSO working group. So while I would prefer that the board had sort of accepted a cross-community recommendation that it would deal with as that recommendation, since it has declared its unwillingness to do that, and the fact that it will be the one to do the cross-community balancing. GNSO really should do its own thing. So I won't be there for that discussion, but I just wanted to indicate that, that my view on it has changed given board's position. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Aubrey, and thanks for sharing your point of view here. Okay, any comment or question here? So I understand that's kind of, we still have this discussion if it should be cross-community working group or should be led by GNSO and so on. So maybe we can get more clarity after the council call. Anyway, is there any question, any further comment? Okay, so we can move then to the next item. It's also a discussion topic, which is about the final report and independent examiner and GNSO review. So the report is the final report is published, and the review team is having ongoing discussion. But who can give some briefing here, or maybe to explain about the context and what's going on about this report. Amr?
Hi, are we talking about the GNSO review right now?
Yes.
Okay, actually, I would prefer a member of the working party do the briefing. I can jump in later.
Okay. I see Bill that he wants to speak here. Yes. Yeah. So Bill wants to speak. Yeah. Bill, please go ahead.
Actually, I don't really want to because I'm so sick to death of this, but I will. Just briefly for those who are. The background is that there's a mandated review of the GNSO every few years. The contract was given to a consulting group that then went off and structured a very interesting model for conducting the review, where it would not talk to any of the chairs of the various constituencies or stakeholder groups, and carefully selected the people that it deemed worthy, and then wrote a first draft review that was released while we were in Singapore that the members of the working party had not seen, which in the minds of many of us had rather inflammatory language about NCUC and NCSG generally, and which led then to NCUC writing a 10-page reply to that. And then there was a second version of the report came out after the board had had a conversation with the senior staff person coordinating with this and indicated that indeed they were not comfortable with how things were being handled, at least some of them. And the next iteration of the report was reasonably more anodyne and, offered a series of fairly, straightforward and not terrifically exciting, but okay recommendations about various aspects of GNSO work processes, and still had a few random bits of nastiness in it, but was not too problematic. And then there was consultations, if you want to call it that, on Constituency Day in Buenos Aires, where the consultants came around, and in the case of NCUC, the meeting was fairly lively and animated, and people expressed their concerns about the way these guys have been operating in a rather forceful way. And lo and behold, the final report comes out without having been vetted at all with the working party, and it has a recommendation 23 in it saying that essentially the GNSO should be organized into constituencies. The constituencies should all have hardwired council seats. And whatever one's views about that may be, the fact that it was done in the way it was done, with the members of the Working Party not having been privy to the fact that they intended to pull this rabbit out of their hat at the last minute, and do it in a way that there was no longer a possibility for public comment or anything else, was roundly aggravating to pretty much everybody. And so we had two calls within 1 week to discuss this, first with the consultant, who characteristically did not give a damn what we were saying, and then secondly, one without them, where we talked about how to put forward a text, perhaps on the part of the Working Party, and have that go as well through the GNSO Council, for them to perhaps bless or at least be aware of. The problem has been, and I will stop talking in a second, that the Working Party, participation in the Working Party has been very uneven. Many of the constituencies and stakeholder groups really have not been very represented in many of the sessions or are deeply engaged in the work. So we find ourselves in a situation where a few people from a couple of groupings are trying to put forward a text for adoption by the Working Party, expressing our joint concern with the way this was handled and the fact that it simply wasn't thought through by the Westlake, the consultancy. And, you know, the problem is that most of the other parties in the GNSO have not been engaged and are not responding to email. So I don't know how this is going to work. But the part of the board that is supposed to review this, formerly called the Structural Improvements Committee, or SIC, which I really thought was a great acronym, it is now the Organizational Effectiveness Committee, which is far more boring, is supposed to have a meeting on Monday, an initial meeting to begin to look at the report. So in the event that we are not able, which I think is highly likely, to have a shared position among all members of the Working Party in advance of that meeting on Monday, what I think will happen probably is that Jen Wolf will send a note as the chair to the OEC saying, hey, we have concerns about Recommendation 23, and there will be something forthcoming. So to try to buy some time, and then we'll see if more consensus can be built. The draft letter that Chuck Gomes did that I made a lot of revisions to, and now Amherst added a couple as well, has been circulated, and I believe that's going to go to the council on for a look on Thursday. And I hope people who have not been engaged in the process will not be entirely too baffled. And I think it will be important that people from NCSG are there to explain the concerns so that people who have not been engaged from other parts of the council community don't kind of go, hey, what's this? We don't know what this is. We can't support this. You know, there's got to be some ground laid for them. I'll stop there. Sorry, it was a little long, but that's the whole background. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Bill, for this brief briefing. Okay, yes, Tiffany, please go ahead.
Thanks very much. And thanks, Bill, for that summary, because I think it's pretty good. I wanted to bring up the point that that Chuck had made in his original letter, and I just commented immediately and gave him typos. I did not change any of the substance except to add one more line. So I haven't read your amended version of his letter, but it's out of scope. This last minute recommendation, which, you know, I heard the Westlake people saying, well, they thought long and hard about it. If they thought long and hard about it 6 months ago, why wasn't it in the report that went for consultation? I'm deeply concerned with if I can, spending all the time that it's spending on accountability, the process has got to be improved. these last-minute ambushes, and we're experiencing a number of them in the privacy proxy accreditation issues working group, it has to stop. This is not acceptable to wedge something in. So there's a process issue. There's an out of scope. Yes, I understand. I'm reading the chat. Bill, I understand. This is the oldest tactic in the book. We know that. But that doesn't mean we don't call it. So my question as a, I'm not a new counselor, but how do we get a vigorous discussion of this going in the GNSO on Thursday? Because I think it needs to be dealt with on a procedural and scope from that perspective. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Tiffany. We have Sam in the queue. Yes, Sam.
Thank you, Armory. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Yes.
Okay. I believe Rudy, I believe Klaus Stoll is on the phone and would like to make a comment. Is there a way that he can be patched in?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Bill, I just would like to make a clarification or a statement and ask you a question from what you said before. From what you said before, it was not clear if you objected against the process Westlake used between Buenos Aires and the new report, and we are actually surprised that CUC had a meeting with the Westlake people, because the NPOC constituency was not granted this privilege. In fact, we didn't have any contact with them. So for me, it's, but the important point for me is, are you mainly objecting against the process to reach to number 23, or are you completely against the content? Thank you.
Thank you, Klaus. I guess what I'm saying is, I would think that everybody in the GNSO, regardless of their views on the substantive issue, would have a problem with the process and the way this was done. This, and so if we're going to take this into the context of the GNSO Council, where a lot of people have not been following the conversation, I think it is important to focus on the process aspects. Because as to the larger issue of whether what they what they are suggesting is advisable or not, that's a point that properly should be discussed by the council and the GNSO community. And I don't know if you've read the comments that I inserted into Chuck's text, but which are now part of the integrated text, but there are, I think, from the standpoint of a lot of people, some questions that at least have to be raised about that, whether it's the wisest approach or not. So this merits a discussion within stakeholder groups and within the GNSO as to whether it is advisable to go down that route, separately from the question of these jokers coming in at the last second and pushing this through with their own private agenda. I think we can all agree that that was not handled correctly. Selective consultations, the partial interactions, the non-answer answers, it's just been ridiculous. We have, and I will stop, we have consistently been presenting these guys with factual information saying, no, your characterization is wrong in the following way, and they just don't respond to it. They don't interact with it. It's just like nothing that comes out of anybody in NCSG matters about this. They have their agenda. They have their mission, wherever it came from. So I think that the council should be able to get behind questioning that. Thanks.
Can I respond to this?
Okay. Yes, Klaus, yeah.
Okay. Bill, if there are problems with the procedures, I completely agree with you. On the other hand, I think we shouldn't throw out the baby with the bathwater. I think if we procedurally try to stop 23, there will be no discussion of the substance in the MGSG. And I would very much like to see a discussion of this, whatever the outcome. And I know, and I have read your paper, that you think that the outcome is already, in a way, pre-predicted. And I really don't think so. And I just at least want to make sure that we discuss it in the NGSG and having a lot of time and a lot of attention towards this. Thank you.
Yes, Armin, please go ahead.
Thanks. This is Armin. A couple of quick points. First one, just to clarify the role of the council in this. The GNSO council actually does not have any role in terms of approving or not approving the recommendations. Like, this GNSO review was initiated by the Board Structural Improvement Committee, which is now the Organizational Effectiveness Committee. They're kind of acting as the sort of the chartering organization of this project, and they're the ones who are going to have a say. So although the GNSO Council can have an opinion on this, it is adoption of the Westlake recommendations is not something the GNSO Council is required or actually has the authority to do. So I just want to make this very clear so that there's no confusion about the role of the GNSO Council in this. The second thing is, in terms of process and substance of the recommendations, I think those two are very intertwined at this point, because if it's sort of presented that, you know, we can't have a substantive discussion on this because we are going to focus on process, that isn't really accurate, because there was a lot of substantive input from members of the non-commercial stakeholder group and members of the NCUC as well. These were submitted during the public comment periods. They were also very well collected. I mean, the sessions in Buenos Aires where the Westlake team interacted with different members of the community were very well documented by ICANN staff and presented as part of the public comment period. So if you look there, there was a submission by Charles Chambly, and in that you will find a spreadsheet of all the sessions that Westlake attended in Buenos Aires and transcripts of interactions they had. So you'll find a lot of input from during the GNSO working sessions on the weekend. You'll find the input from the NCUC meeting with Westlake. It's all there in the public comments, and it really should have been part of the consideration that Westlake took into account when they were preparing their final recommendations, but apparently they either didn't take them into consideration or did take them into consideration but decided that, heck no, all these people are wrong and they don't know what they're talking about and we're going to just disregard what they're saying and add this recommendation anyway. From a process perspective, I think the real problem here is that in reviewing the public comments that were submitted, including the feedback received during sessions in Buenos Aires, the Westlake team did not work with the GNSO review working party at all. This is not a practice that we are accustomed to. Usually the working groups will review public comments together and try to work out what the appropriate response to the different comments is. Westlake unilaterally reviewed all the public comments on their own. They didn't discuss these at all with the members of the working party. To be honest, I put some blame on the working party itself for not asking Westlake to do this. But the end result is that they reviewed all this on their own, and then they came up with this very surprising recommendation against the flow of all the input that they had been receiving on this, and they did receive quite a bit. So I think from both a process and from a substance perspective, this is all wrong, and I think that both substance and process here are very interrelated and cannot be separated. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Sam. Yes, Bill.
I just want to add one other point, amplifying something about what Amir was saying. And this is sort of what kind of a search one would do for information and background if trying seriously to engage these kinds of structural questions in a way that could possibly facilitate community consensus building around different kinds of, around reform. And, it is very obvious. If you read anything they've done or if you've talked with Westlake, they did not review at all the discussions that were held on this issue at length in Seoul and prior and after when we were formulating the original agreement about this. This was dealt with extensively, and the board made a decision for reasons. And it's quite clear from talking to Richard Westlake that they didn't bother with that. They didn't bother to look into any of the actual history of how things have played out. They just didn't engage in that manner. So this, in my view, I mean, just from a professional standpoint, I mean, as I said in a very aggravated way on the last call at Westlake, if I had had undergraduates submit a report like this, I would have flunked them because their methodology of making sweeping generalizations based on very selectively represented and sometimes distorted bits of information from selected respondents was just not in any way a real effort to get to grips with what are the full range of considerations here. There was no serious effort to do this and to engage the community on it. So the report, when it deals with these issues, it's not just that whether I like what they're recommending or don't like. At this point, frankly, I'm so exhausted with this kind of crap, I don't give it, if NCSG wants to become CSG, and if the registries want to do the same, then God bless. Let them all go do it. I don't care. But just from a standpoint of doing good work, this is just not good work. There was just no effort. The whole thing was engineered. And it was just appallingly bad. And people need to acknowledge that. This can't go on. I mean, Ed filed a DIDP trying to find out how much these guys were paid and was turned down. But I would really like to know how much they got paid to do an assessment of the GNSO where rather than actually doing any research on what goes on within stakeholder groups and constituencies or the GNSO in general, they just kind of like asked a few selected people, hey, what are your impressions about the other kids on the schoolyard, and then wrote something based on that. It's an absolutely astonishing piece of work, and I hope everybody learned something from it, and I hope that we will make clear to the council just how awful this has been done. Awfully. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Peter.
Is the sound completely gone? Nobody can hear me either?
I can hear you.
Hello. Okay.
So we just lost Rafiq. Oh, there's Rafiq.
Yes, I'm here. Yeah. Okay, so let's go with Hamar and Stephanie. Sorry for this announce, guys.
Thanks to Summer again. So, yeah, just to revisit Bill's first statement on this, he very accurately said that this is the final report and recommendation, so we were all blindsided with this new recommendation that we cannot, at this point, the public comment on. What the working party, I believe, is doing right now is preparing the the comments on, particularly on Recommendation 23, Bill mentioned this as well. This will be a sort of a note from the working party members to the OEC, the Organizational Effectiveness Committee of the board, which is in charge of this project, noting their objection to the recommendation. We'll have to wait and see if the working party can reach consensus on this letter or not. And another possible step that was discussed on the last working party call was that should the working party achieve consensus on this, that they will also ask the GNSO Council to take a position on this and perhaps submit a letter of their own to the board, either supporting the findings of the working party or submit something of their own. And this, I believe, is something that Jen Wolf, who is chairing the working party or coordinating it, she will be discussing with the GNSO Council on Thursday as part of her briefing on the updates. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Yes, Tiffany, please go ahead. Tiffany?
Hi, Stephanie Perrin for the transcript. Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Yes?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay, good. Okay, I just want to be crystal clear that we have a, to the extent possible, at least a discussed position when this comes up in council. And while I understand the concerns about methodology and all of this, we've commented to that effect. This business of bringing in such a key structural change at the last minute without community consultation is, in my view, a complete abrogation of the multi-stakeholder model. They are independent. If they're stupid and we are hiring the wrong consultants, that's an issue to deal with staff through the DIDP process. But we cannot tolerate and accept such a substantive thing being just slipped into a final report. And I would just like to say in the Privacy Proxy Accreditation Working Group, which is, eating a lot of our time these days, the same thing is happening, only it's happening, it's not quite clear how it's getting in. So we need to send a very strong message that if ICANN is an accountable multi-stakeholder organization, we need to stick to procedures. So that's what I want to talk about. And I realize the GNSO can't do much, but it could write a letter to the board or to the Structural Improvements Committee and say that they have deep concerns about this. And these are concerns, I think, that are shared by, well, certainly by Chuck Gomes and the registry stakeholder group, and possibly we could get support from the registrars as well. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Tiffany. I don't see anybody in the queue, and looking at to hear if there is any comment or questions about this topic. Okay, I think we can move to the next item. We already passed 1 hour, more than 1 hour in the call, and we still have one hour to go. And the next item is, which is a kind of irony, is also about accountability, and the cross-community working group is kind of getting busy because coming face-to-face Los Angeles meeting starting, I think, this Friday. And there is a lot of discussion and, I think, concerns about what will be the outcome and what we are trying to achieve in this face-to-face meeting. But maybe looking here, maybe to hear first from Robin, if she has some kind of thoughts and if you want to share with us some briefing here, so to get everyone in the same board. Robin, can you speak?
Yes, this is Robin. Can you hear me?
Yes, Robin, please go ahead.
Yes. Okay. So we put out the draft report for public comment about a month and a half ago, and we got significant comment, quite a lot of comment back. Much of it was very supportive. I would say most of it was very supportive of the main goals and the main objectives that the CCWG wants to create. But there were some concerns about different aspects of that. And one of the main concerns for NCSG in our comments had to do with the redistribution of power among the supporting organizations and advisory committees, and raising the relative power of the advisory committees relative to the supporting organizations like the GNSO. So that was, you know, one issue of concern. And then the board came in and issued or put in the comment on the last day that said that it basically agreed with our overall objectives but didn't agree with the methodology of the single-member model and wants to try more of an arbitration proceeding similar to the existing model. And they also, in addition to that, although that's the main objection that the board had, but they really tried to roll back a lot of the reforms on all of the different issues, what the reconsideration request and the IRP and the fundamental bylaws and, you know, right on down the line, the board's proposal really tries to water down and roll back a lot of the reforms on all of the different issues that we worked on. So there's a lot of concern about the discord between the board and the CCWG on the draft report. Now we have a meeting next weekend in Los Angeles, the CCWG does, where we're going to discuss the public comment inputs, including the board's, and it happens to be at the same time as the board will be meeting in LA also for its board retreat. So there will be many board members at this meeting, and you know, we fully expect them to come prepared to arm twist us into changing the CCWG's report into being much closer to what the board and Jones Day are put forward as their alternative proposal a week or so two ago. So I don't really, you know, some people are concerned that this is going to turn into a negotiation between the CCWG and the board. I'm not really sure that that's what I think. I think that that's certainly what the board hopes will happen, but I think that there's, I don't see a lot of people in the community really being willing to give up on a lot of the key fundamental points. I think that there's flexibility in many of the issues, but not so much the key fundamental points. So it'll be interesting to see where we stand basically a week from now coming out of the LA meeting. I will be there. Anyone can participate remotely, and I would like to encourage as many NCSG members as possible to join in the meeting via Adobe Connect. Everyone's welcome to participate. So that's really the update on that. The CCWG did say that we likely will not be ready in Dublin to have the draft report voted on by the SOs and ACs, which, you know, is no surprise. You may recall when this process started, I told you that the timeline we were pretending was realistic was obviously unrealistic. So it's not much of a surprise, actually, that we're not ready for prime time quite yet. But we are very serious about wanting to refine the proposal and listen to all the comments and take them into consideration, including the board. I think it will help to create a better report or a better proposal at the end of the day, having such scrutiny on the draft report. And so I don't know if anyone has any questions, or I'm sure there are other participants in the CCWG that also have viewpoints and would like that they would like to share with the group. So please join.
Thanks, Robin. So we see if there's any question here or comment. Yes, Han, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks, Samer. I just want to thank Robin for the briefing and say that I completely agree that hopefully this meeting in LA will not turn into a negotiation between the CCWG and the board, and will instead be an opportunity for the CCWG to review all input received, whether this was by the board or by other parties during the public comment period, and only reviewing these recommendations and working together to see how any of the public comments submitted will improve the actual report or the proposal of the CCWG and its recommendations. So yes, I hope that this will not turn into a binary sort of a negotiation between the CCWG and the board, but sort of just treat the board input just as they would any other input received by anyone else during the public comment period. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Okay, anybody else want to add something here? Okay, good. So, okay. So just maybe to kind of to add something is that we are also trying here to get some kind of ad hoc group within NCAG to work on specific topics, and one of them is about the IDP, and now for them is taking the lead here. Maybe she can give a short, really short and brief update what's going on. Farzana? So if she's not listening to me, or she cannot speak. Okay. Well, things happen. Well, okay. So we can move to the next item anyway, and we'll see. The next item is about new ICANN meeting strategy. I'm not aware about any updates since the last time, and I don't think that the ad hoc group made a real kind of progress here, so I'm not sure what kind of update you are going to get in the GNSO Council meeting. If someone has any idea, maybe he can share with us. Otherwise, maybe we can move to any other business, which is quite important here as a topic. Okay, so about any other business, it's about, I think for us, is regarding the GNSO Council Chair election. And tomorrow we have a kind of ad hoc call with a candidate to maybe to be nominated for the non-contracted party house. The candidate is coming from the CAG and more exactly from the intellectual property constituency. So I encourage everyone to attend the call tomorrow. I think it's at, if I'm not mistaken, It's at 10 a.m. UTC. So we need to interview the candidate and to make decision quickly, since we have to the non-contracted party has to make nomination by the 25th of September, which means this week. So I would like to hear if there is any comment here or any question that you want to make. Yes, Anna, please go ahead.
Thanks, this is Amar. I was just wondering if we would at all care to even try to coordinate our approach to tomorrow's call, or is this just going to be kind of like a sort of like a statement made by the candidate, and then just anyone who wants to ask a question can go ahead? I'm sure there are concerns that we all share. They may be voiced, but I was just really wondering whether we wanted to coordinate our approach to this or not. Thanks.
Well, I guess maybe it's better to be coordinated, I mean, in terms of question and what we want to ask. But I think at the end, if it's an open membership call, I guess people they will ask whatever they want anyway. But I think maybe at least for us and those from maybe the public, how to say, the policy committee, maybe need to have a kind of short list of questions they want to ask, and so they can make their mind quickly within this week, so we can make some decisions. Yes, Marina, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafi. Just to share a little piece of information, I have been approached by Ruben Skoll, who is from NPR. He joined the Jenna show now, and he has asked us if we have a position on our candidate, because the contracted party house is waiting to see if we're going to reach consensus. According to him, he has told me completely informally, the contracted party house has a perception that it would be positive for us to have alternate and exchange roles in a chair's position. So they would kind of favor that we have a common name. If they are thinking of alternatives, it's kind of a second best choice. But they are kind of thinking about it in the eventuality that we do not achieve a common position around a name. That's what I heard from him. Thanks.
Okay, so thanks, Marina. I think there are a lot of things we were hearing. It sounds that the contracted party house, they agreed first maybe to put James Baddell to nominate him as a candidate, but now they are kind of maybe more reluctant somehow, and they may accept a candidate from the non-contracted party house from all constituency but except one. I'm not going to say which one. It's not us. It's not NCNG, but they are looking to accept a candidate that can be neutral, and they will be probably happy to accept it. So we will have to interview Heather tomorrow to make our mind about how we should proceed here, but also maybe thinking about other alternatives too. We will have really short time to act, so probably we need much more kind of get some concrete proposal maybe here. Yes, James.
Hi, thanks, Rafiq. So I have a question, I suppose, that follows on from the nomination process. So obviously, we interview Heather, and if we agree to put Heather forward as the candidate for the non-contracted parties house. And then if the contract party has put forward their candidate, how does that work then when it then comes to the actual voting? So are we then, I suppose, bound to vote for our non-contracted party's house, or do we then, as NCSG, do our NCSG councillors then have the option when it comes to the actual voting to vote for the contracted party's house candidate? So what's the dynamic after we put forward a candidate from the non-contracted party's house? How does that move forward into the actual voting?
So I think maybe other general councillors can clarify, but what we're trying first is to nominate candidates. And so each house can do that. It's not necessarily it should be a member of the stakeholder group, and how to say a non-com appointee can be nominated. And so there will be election in Dublin meeting, and it will be the first action of the new GNSO Council. So after the first meeting end with the old GNSO Council, the new GNSO Council will sit, and the first action will be to vote and to elect a new chair. I guess maybe Amar and also David, as the vice chair of the GNSO Council, he can clarify about the process. Yes, Amar.
Yeah, thanks. James actually brought up the same issue I wanted to bring up. I honestly hadn't thought about this until Ed brought it up on the NCSG policy committee list. And, Ed is not on the call, but if he reads this, then I'd like to thank him for doing that. As far as I understand, when a house of the GNSO Council nominates a candidate for the GNSO Council chair, my understanding is that they are not bound by voting for him once the elections actually take place. This is just a nomination stage that precedes the election. So the only way we can have two nominees for the council chair is that if each house agrees on a nominee, and then the only way we can have a council chair is that if a majority of the council votes for them. So then you would probably need members of one house to vote for a candidate from the other. So it'll be an understanding that that if we do agree with the commercial stakeholder group on nominating their candidates, it does not mean that we are bound to vote for this candidate once the chair elections take place. I think this is something that we need to communicate very clearly to both our counterparts in the non-contracted parties house, as well as the two stakeholder groups of the contracted parties house. So we need to be sure to let them know that should we agree to nominate Heather as the non-contracted party's house candidate, that does not mean that we will be voting for her once the elections take place. And of course, non-commercial stakeholder group councillors are free to vote whichever way they choose. Right up till now, we don't even know who the contracted party's house candidate is, so we have no way of making a determination at this time of whether we prefer Heather over another candidate. We don't know who that other candidate is. Having said that, and going back to my earlier comment on coordinating our approach to the call tomorrow with the candidate who is Heather, for me, and I think I've voiced this on the policy committee list at least on a few occasions, I have grave concerns about having a GNSO council chair being a member of the IPC at this time. We have two very large PDPs that are about to start, the one on the post-expert working group, the one from the Registration Directory Services, Next Generation Directory Services. So this is a huge GNSO project that the IPC and the NCSG have very conflicting views on, and I would be very uncomfortable with an IPC member chairing the GNSO Council while it's going on, as well as the subsequent rounds for the new GTLDs. That's another huge PDP that is going to take place. I suspect we'll have a lot of conflicting positions with IPC on that as well. So I'm just voicing my own concerns, and I think during tomorrow's call with Heather, we really need to address this issue and understand from her what her position on this would be and how she would manage the council in light of those two PDPs going on probably over the next couple of years. Thanks.
Yes, thanks, Hama. Yes, Stephanie, please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I agree that I think Heather is capable of being a very good neutral chair. I just want to amplify on Amr's point about the post-EWG process. That thing is, I would say, pretty undoable in the time frame that they have sketched out. And I think we are going potentially to be defeated by the schedule. So I think it is particularly dangerous to have an extremely efficient, chop-chop, neutral chair in there who will not be, she doesn't have to be non-neutral to be damaging to our interests. We need someone who is going to say, you know what, we can't possibly get this done in the time frame, so let's slow the vote down. And if we have someone who is just going to keep going, okay, by next January the 2nd, we need this out, I think we're going to be in trouble. So I don't think my reservations about voting for Heather are not about her character, not about her neutrality, but at this particular point in time, it's very dangerous to have someone who's going to push, and get the agenda through, because that the agenda for the EWG is utterly ridiculous. So that's, I think, all I have to say, and I plan to vote against her just in case anybody's answering. Like, almost anybody would be better, I think.
Well, darling, we're sick. Back into the meeting. Apologies for the confusion. Thank you.
Hi, I'm sorry, this is Amr. Did I just hear Miriam say that the meeting is over?
No. I'm sorry, Amr. I was saying that Rafiq got caught up. We're dialing him back.
Okay. I can take over early until he dialed back in.
Okay.
Thanks, Stephanie. Stephanie is an old hand, right? I can move on to Kathy.
Great. Hi, Amr. Hi, everybody.
Right, Kathy, go ahead.
Hope you're doing well. I'm living in proxy privacy accreditation land these days, so with James and Stephanie, way too much work. Hey, first, bad timing for tomorrow. It's really good to avoid people's high holidays, and tomorrow's Yom Kippur. So in the future, if we could schedule around major holidays of various religions, that would be great for human rights reasons. Second, I just wanted to double check that tomorrow is the non-contracted parties GNSO chair interview. That's why we don't know who the other side is, right? At some point, we'll have that opportunity, I assume, to talk with whoever is appointed, whether, you know, whoever is the contracted parties. Is that right? Let me just clarify there.
Kathy, this summer, yeah, you are correct. On tomorrow, we are going to be interviewing a potential candidate of the non-contracted parties.
Okay,
so,
I had misunderstood from the title. Okay, great. So it's Heather on the floor tomorrow. Just Heather.
That is correct, but I am clear on whether we will have an opportunity to interview the other candidate from the contracted party's house or not. So I don't believe we got to do this really last time around, but last time Jonathan Robinson was running unopposed, so I'm not sure there was much point to it. I could try to get clarification on this and get back to you if that's okay.
Oh, that's fine to everybody. But I think there's an opportunity tomorrow with Heather. For all the same reasons everyone else has talked about and more, the UDRP review coming up, I think this is the wrong time to have an IPC chair. And especially watching Steve Metallet pull strings in the Proxy Privacy Accreditation Working Group, where he's co-chair and it's supposed to be neutral. There's nothing neutral about him, and he's pulling many of the strings in the IPC, and you can quote me on that, and he knows it. He's been doing it for years. That said, this is a great opportunity to build a bridge to Heather and talk to her, you know, if she becomes chair, you know, if, let's say, the contracted parties don't nominate anybody, and I hope they nominate James, who I think would be very good. If they don't, you know, this is a time, and again, I won't be on the call, to talk to Heather and talk with her about neutrality as issues come up that she is personally and her constituency is personally very vested in. And it could be a very good conversation. So I hope it goes well. And, you know, in the past, she's been a good participant and player. And maybe at another time when issues not as close to us are around, you know, she may come up again as a chair. So I think being positive tomorrow would be very helpful. Thanks.
Well, thanks, Kathy. This is Amar again. Are there any other comments on this? Anyone else have any input on tomorrow's call? Anything we should take into consideration? Maybe we could have a bit of a chat about policy committee list as well.
Amar, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, is this Rafiq?
Yes, this is Rafiq speaking. I'm trying to jump through the Adobe Connect. Maybe just to clarify first to Kathy, just want to answer to. Yes. Just want to answer Kathy about the organizing call. I'm sorry that it happens with the religious holiday, but I am also chairing this conf call during my own holidays at midnight. So I hope that everyone, you know, can understand this. And also that ICANN is organizing a conf call today, this Thursday and Friday. So I think that maybe we can have a lot of discussion about that, but it's not the topic for now. So I've got an issue that we have to act quickly about to make a nomination by the 25th, and it was really hard to get time available to everyone. So, okay, let's, we have our chance tomorrow to ask Heather, and also I see some suggestion from Avery and Robin if we got several candidates to get them at the constituency day. I think we can organize that anyway. Okay, James, please go ahead.
Hi, James Gannon. So just very briefly, so I won't be able to make the call tomorrow, so there's two kind of areas that I'd like people to touch on in their questions if possible, or if something similar could be put forward by people who are going to be able to make the call. I'd like to know how Heather is going to be able to deal with the pull from two sides of trying to be a neutral chair while obviously being from the IPC and having personal opinions on things, and how she would plan to deal with that kind of dichotomy of issues herself. Because obviously we have a huge amount of very relevant issues coming up to the IPC over the next period of time. That will be during her chair, and it will be a very difficult time for us to have an IPC person in the chair, I think, not just from our own perception of it, but also for her as her capability to actually fulfill that job, I think would be very, very difficult for her. And also, I would like to know, would she be open to, I noticed it was in the chat as well, would she be open to a vice chair position if that was an alternative option, if we decided to go with the contracted party house? Because I think that could be a good way to resolve the potential conflict there.
Yes, Amar, please go ahead.
Thanks, Summer. Yeah, 2 points James just made. The first one on whether she will be capable of being neutral or not. I think this is a question that many of us have for her, and I'm sure it will be put to her tomorrow. That I would add to that question is whether she actually has the latitude to be flexible or neutral as a so chair or not, because my understanding is that IPC counselors in general are directed in what they bring to council and how they vote. So I would also like to understand the internal dynamics of the IPC and how they would act one of their own being the chair of the GNSO council. Will Heather be able to sort of break free of the tether to her constituency when it comes to her chairing duties or not? This is also something I would add to that question. I think is very important in terms of a compromise, having her as the vice chair. Actually, we sort of have a non-formal agreement with the IPC that we're trying to formalize right now with the commercial stakeholder group. Sorry, is that the two stakeholder groups would take turns vice chairing the council. So right now is actually the commercial stakeholder group's turn to vice chair the council. So if we don't agree on Heather as or any other candidate from the commercial stakeholder group, then it would indeed be their turn to vice chair the GNSO council, and Heather would most likely be a nominee for that position if she was not accepted as a candidate for the chair job. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Amar. So is there anything we want to add here? Any further comments? So we will have the call tomorrow. Sorry again that it's maybe not convenient to everyone, but plenty call. It's kind of squaring the circle problem, and trust me, it's not easy at all. Okay, so let's try now to move to the next item. We have 20 minutes left in the call. We'll maybe just try to get some update what's going on in terms of policy and working groups and so on, so everyone can be aware about that, and we try to respond to maybe if there is any concern or just to give a briefing here. So is there anything, I mean, for those involved in working party that you want to talk about, Tess? Yes, Alan, what do you want to discuss here?
Hi, just the item 10 on the council agenda, a GNSO council appointee to the leadership training program in Dublin. Is this something we want to discuss on today's call or not?
Well, I mean, you are looking for suggestion here or what?
Yeah, I would actually just say that I would be very happy to ask the GNSO Council to consider Stefania as a GNSO Council appointee, since she is going to be a new councillor. She's going to begin her duties with the closing of the Dublin meeting. And I think she would be a good candidate on behalf of the GNSO Council. So if there is no objection, I would like to suggest her. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. I think that makes sense. Maybe just to check with Stefania if she's... I mean, she is available because I think that's 1 week before the ICANN meeting. She is on the call here, so maybe she can confirm it quickly. Stefania? Okay, it starts on Wednesday. Thanks, Jim. Clarification. Yeah, well, maybe she cannot speak for now. Anyway, we can go with that proposal. So, I guess in the Genesis Council call, and hopefully we can get her to be appointed to this leadership training. Okay, so let's move again to the. To update about policy, but we tried before to let Farzana speak. I'm not sure if she could figure out how to speak with Adobe Connect. Farzana. Okay, no connection. So maybe next time then, or you can share in the mailing list. So let's try to get some updates about tools or any policy development process that is relevant. Yes, James.
So I'll let Kathy or me take PTS AI update if they want to. So the other one that's related to the WHOIS at the moment, I suppose, is the Implementation Advisory Group on WHOIS conflicts with national laws. So we have a draft report that constructed by staff. It's been a very hard working group to make any progress with. There's a lot of very strongly entrenched positions on both sides of the arguments. We're lucky that the NCSG people on this, mostly myself and Stefan, are broadly in agreement with the registrars on the fact that we believe that ICANN shouldn't place registrars in a position to be in conflict with their own national data protection and privacy laws. Unfortunately, we can't come to agreement with other stakeholders on a trigger to allow an exemption from that process to be initiated with ICANN. So there's a draft report going to come out soon for public comment, but unfortunately the draft report essentially states that we can't particularly come to agreement on anything. So where that working group will go in the end, I'm not quite sure, because we essentially can't agree and come to consensus on anything to change the trigger from what it is at the moment. But it's certainly something that I'd like to see NCSG and NCSG members give some input into. Particularly, I know that we have a number of national experts in privacy laws around the world. So I'd like to see input from those when that comes out, which should be. And I'll let Stephanie do an update on PPS AI.
Thanks, James. Stephanie, you go ahead.
Thanks, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I actually would like to comment on the WHOIS Implementation Volunteers Working Group that James and I have been on. And procedurally, I would again raise a couple of concerns that I find absolutely appalling. I've complained about this on the list, I think, but the way staff are treating Christopher Wilkinson, I find reprehensible. He has requested that language that is absolutely incorrect be removed and replaced. And they're not, the staff is not listening. The matter pertains to whether it's national law or applicable law. And in the case of the European Union, it's applicable law. And he's just being ignored. And so, honestly, I have a little roster going of failure of the multi-stakeholder model. If ICANN does not listen to knowledgeable stakeholders and ignores their input, I think sooner or later, it's time for a Martin Luther-style articles on the door, bang, bang, bang. You know, this is ridiculous the way they treat him. Anyway, I'm in the middle of crafting a dissent that will basically echo what Christopher has said, because I believe he's correct. I'll add a couple of items. So that's going into that group. And on the PPSAI, I've already complained, I think. Oh, no, that was on website. Sorry. The PPSAI, we're getting a last-minute tone problem with the documents as drafted. And we really have to call them out on this. And it is not entirely clear whether that's coming from the stakeholders who were totally overwhelmed by the 20,000 comments that we got, and we've had a devil of a time getting them all integrated and incorporated, and many, many thanks to Kathy for all the work she's been doing on this committee and the tough slogging, reading them all and finding the pieces that are being ignored. But the report is being drafted in a slanted way by staff, and we're going to have to fight that slanting all the way. So I think that goes on my roster of procedural problems with the multi-stakeholder model. I mean, the amount of time we all give to this, it's shocking, the lack of respect. Anyway, I think that's enough on this. There will be a final report coming out of the PPSAI sometime, but we have an unprecedented amount of cooperation between us and the registrars, and that's really the only way we're getting anywhere on this. Thanks.
Hey. Thanks, Stephanie. And I hope we will have enough time to discuss about all privacy issues in Dublin, and to get more more people involved within the process. Okay, we have 10 minutes left in the call, so looking to hear more updates here. But if there is no, I'm not going to keep you. And to keep folks more longer in the call. So please jump in if you want to add something or you want to comment. Okay. So that's it. I will send soon the information about Dublin meeting to discuss about the agenda of the NCAZ session in the Constituency Day, and also that we need really to discuss soon about the topic we want to talk about the board, and to work out them and to make the decision more say. More interactive. And just as information for this time, Dublin, we are not going to have the session with the board in Tuesday, but in Wednesday. So maybe that will change the dynamics a little bit, and we can see and experiment. I mean, the change of the day and time will have some influence about the interaction with the board. So I will share all this information soon, and I'm really looking for your input about the topics that we want to discuss. We need to select topics, and we will work with Marcus, I think, and Wolfgang, so we can try to prepare and be ready with our session with the board. Okay. Is there any comment or anything that you would like to add here? Yes, please go ahead.
I just want to really underscore something I've said before. Just based on the conversations I'm having with various people, I think it's like really... really urges that we have a good meeting with the board in Dublin, because we are sort of at a point, a potential tipping point, where attitudes may not be recoverable. So I think it will be really useful to try to engineer the narrative that we wish this to follow, and think it through in advance. It tends to be the case that we run into these things rushing from one thing to the next, and then we just kind of, you know, engage in free-form dance, and sometimes that doesn't really optimize the opportunity, and there's just like a lot of bad boogie-joogie now that has accumulated in the atmospherics that, you know, we need, I think, to dispense. So try to think of some way to raise pressing issues with them without stomping on all their buttons, because I think otherwise it's not going to be good for us. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. I mean, changing the day and the time, maybe it will be an interesting factor. And we will work with Marcos beforehand to prepare the topics and to get better understanding at the board level. Have with him an ad hoc call, maybe with him, Wolfgang, and Bruce, prior to ICANN meeting. So we will try to put put some measure, preventive measure, so we can improve that session. So I keep faith that we can make it quite useful and fruitful for us. So I hope that we can make it for this time. So. Okay. So, any comment here? Question? Okay, I think that's it for today. Thanks, everyone. I think this is my almost my last NCAG call that will be chaired by me. I'm not sure if I am happy for that, but at least for sure that will be free up some of my time slot. So what we will have next in coming weeks is just the tomorrow call for the GENASO Council Chair candidate, and also we will have more a kind of webinar about civil society strategy next week, Wednesday. That will be much more Jean-Jacques and Adam Peake to talk and to present the strategy and trying to get our input. Other than that, we will meet in the hopefully, and we have to work for that in the coming weeks. Thanks for everything, and see you soon, guys.
Thank you very much, Aubrey. You may not.
All right. Let's adjourn the call for today.
Bye-bye.